This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done, Dennis Cox? Craziest thing you've ever done?
I don't know if it's safe for air.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I did go whitewater rafting on the Cheat River in West Virginia in like class 5 and 6 rapids. That was fun, a little dangerous, but we had a guide in the boat. I'll tell you what I would not do. I would not run breakneck speed down a hill, kind of a muddy hill in Gloucestershire, England, chasing after an 8-pound wheel of cheese. But I know somebody who did. Abby Lampe, graduate of NC State, who joins us. We'll tell people where you are in a minute unless you want to keep that secret. I appreciate your time. First of all, congratulations on winning the 8-pound wheel of cheese. Where is the wheel of cheese right now?
It's getting shipped to the U.S., back to North Carolina from Gloucester, England.
All right, so how much was the shipping on an 8-pound wheel of cheese?
I think it was about 70, 80 pounds.
Oh, it was that much? It was a 70-pound wheel of cheese?
No, it was 8
Oh, 70 pounds. Never mind.
But 70 pounds British.
Yes. That's a lot of money. That's almost 100 bucks. My gosh. Yeah. Was there a prize other than the wheel of cheese for winning this?
Bragging rights?
I guess you're the only person who can say that you won that division. It's the Gloucestershire Jubilee Cheese Rolling. What was the cheese? Do you know what kind of cheese it was?
It was double Gloucester cheese.
Very nice. That's a quality. It's a quality cheese. Oh, so I went on YouTube and I watched the race. And I don't know if this was your strategy, but whether it was your strategy or not, you adapted very well, because it looked to me like, I don't know, after a handful of strides, you went down and you just rolled the rest of the way. I don't know if it was safer or more dangerous. So tell me about your plan.
Yeah, my plan was to be on my feet the longest I could, but that did not last very long.
No.
I quickly fell and I started tumbling. And when I was tumbling, I could notice that I was not going in a straight line. My sight was being altered and I could see the crowd getting closer, which is not good.
No.
So I knew I was going diagonally, but my only thought during this entire race was to go down, be the cheese, go as fast as I can, and try to get down.
Be the cheese.
Be the cheese.
Be the cheese. That's there's like a Caddyshack reference in there somewhere. Why did you want to do this? And did you go to England with the express purpose of entering this race? Why did you want to do this?
I wanted to participate in this event because it's another obscure, random sporting event. I've done the Krispy Kreme Challenge, which, okay, if you're not familiar with it, you run 2.5 miles to our local Krispy Kreme in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Right.
You eat 12 donuts, and then you run back without throwing up in under an hour. So I've done it in 1 hour and 6 minutes 2 times.
And okay, so do they disqualify you if you don't do it in under an hour?
You don't get disqualified, but technically you didn't complete the challenge fully. Still did it, though.
This is tremendous. You have you're very daring. First of all, where are you right now?
I'm in Barcelona, Spain.
All right. I don't know how far Barcelona is from Pamplona, but you've got a month before they run with the Bulls.
Yeah, I thought about running with the Bulls, but I will be in Greece, unfortunately.
I don't know if that's unfortunate. Not sure that's unfortunate. So do you have another challenge you are going to try and do?
I don't have anything lined up right now. I'm all ears if there are sporting events that are happening this summer.
Look, this is just tremendous. Had you, I'm guessing you had seen something like this. You had seen the cheese roll before. I mean, it's a dangerous thing. I saw them loading people into ambulances. What was it like being there?
The atmosphere was amazing. People were so supportive. They were cheering the entire time. At one point, they started chanting, cheese, cheese, cheese. Mm-hmm. And it was just an amazing experience to be a part of. Even if I hadn't had one, it would have been an amazing experience.
Sober?
I was sober.
I just, you know, it just kind of pops in. But what about everybody else?
They were not all sober.
I can't imagine that you would be. What is the atmosphere like at these types of events? I mean, I'm sure you've gone to a state football game and experienced tailgating and all of that. How would you compare what you saw there to what we see here?
So I think it's more like it's the fourth quarter. You have the ball, your team's running to get the touchdown. NC State it's like maybe 3 minutes left in the quarter.
Right.
I think that's more of the atmosphere. Everyone is yelling their hearts out when you're rolling down with the cheese. It's an amazing feeling, but I was just mostly focused on rolling, trying to get down. So I wasn't really enthralled with the audience. But after I won, everyone was so kind. They congratulated me the entire day. They wanted pictures with me. They kept saying, "We're so proud of you." And they didn't even know me.
Evie Lampe from NC State. But by the way, you just graduated with an engineering degree?
Yeah, I graduated with an industrial and systems engineering degree, which, funny enough, is about optimizing and making sure that you're streamlining processes and trying to make things as efficient as possible, which I think I did with the role.
You did. Again, you said it wasn't your plan, but you certainly made the best of it. Did you know that you won, like, as soon as you is it the first person to touch the cheese? Do you cross a finish line? How do you know when you win?
You cross a finish line. The cheese is going at about 70 miles per hour, max speed. So you're not going to catch it, but you want to cross the flower line that they put at the beginning of the race. And it's the bottom of the hill. Rugby players are all along the line, and you just have to be the first one there. So I rolled over. Luckily, I almost lost, which would have been really sad. But I rolled, and the first thing I said was, "Did I win?" And the lady who had the block of cheese, she comes running, holding the block of cheese, and she gives it to me. And I put it above my head, and she said, "You just won a cheese rolling." And I was floored. I was in such disbelief. I was ecstatic. So pure and, like, so happy.
Gosh, there should be name, image, and likeness you should get a lifetime supply of Kraft something or Velveeta. Do you have a favorite cheese? Maybe it's Gloucester now. Do you have a favorite cheese?
I like Vermont cheddar. That's a really good one. Oh, and Manchego.
Very nice. Very nice. Quality cheeses. I don't know if any of those are available in Spain or not. How long are you going to be traveling before you start work?
I don't leave until August 31st, and I don't start work until the middle of October. I've got a bit of a time.
You can. I'm sure there's cliff diving somewhere you can do.
I will be doing cliff jumping in Greece.
Of course you will. I hope we see it on video. Abby Lampe, this is awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. Did you get hurt at all?
I have a few bruises and my head hurts a little bit today, but no major injuries.
All right. Well. I don't know how you survived it. I don't know why you did it. But I appreciate the fact that you did. Any shout outs you want to give to people back here since you are a state grad?
I would just like to thank my family and my friends. I don't know.
You're such a professional athlete now. This is all, that's like all I'm they do. That's right.
Yeah. It feels like I'm winning an Oscar. Yeah. Just everyone who's helped me along the way. And I did, by God's grace, I did not break anything.
Wait. People helped you? Did you train for this?
My boss came with me to roll down some hills, if you would want to call that training.
Like, where would you I saw the hills. Do we have hills that look like that?
No, we don't. Dorothea Dix has small hills, but I rolled down those hills.
Sort of like ramps, more ramps than hills. That looked what you did looked dangerous. It looked like a double black diamond. Do you ski?
I do ski. I love skiing.
Yeah. That looked like a double black diamond. It looked like extreme skiing without the snow and without the skis. I'm glad you're okay. Enjoy the rest of your summer vacation and appreciate your time. Abby Lampe, congratulations on the 8. Are you going to eat the cheese when you get back?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm going to have it with my family, have an unveiling.
A cheese unveiling. Thank you. Have a great time in Europe, and we'll check you out again down the road.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Abby Lampe, that is phenomenal. An 8-pound wheel of cheese. Gosh, what is that? She trained by rolling down a hill at Dorothea Dix. All right, John Forslund's going to join us on the other side. He's got the radio call, which you can listen to on the radio right here in Raleigh on 99.9 The Fan, of the Lightning and the Rangers, game 4 tonight. Talk to John Forslund next. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Before their Game 3 loss, the Rangers were on fire. They had won 6 of 7, dispatched the Carolina Hurricanes in 7 games, and took the first 2 games in New York from their series with the 2-time defending champions, Tampa Bay Lightning. John Forslund on the radio call for, I believe, Sports USA Radio Network. And we will be on the radio right here in Raleigh tonight. Also Game 5 and Game 6 as well. John Forslund joins us to talk a little bit about the series. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Adam. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for your time. Before we get to the series tonight, just one question about the Colorado Avalanche. Do they have enough goaltending to win the Stanley Cup?
That's a great question. I would say they need Darcy Kemper. I think they need him back. He was the backup goalie last night, which leads you to believe he's close. And so, you know, with the layoff they're going to have, and depending on how long the Rangers and Lightning go, game 1 could either be on June 15th or June 18th at the latest. So that's a significant layoff, and obviously enough time for Kemper to get back. I don't think Pavel Francouz, he got through. He made some sequences that were pretty good, and he made some situations look a lot worse than they could have been. And so because of that, against a team like the Rangers or Tampa Bay, I think Colorado has enough to win it, but it's not going to be easy with goaltending like that. So I think they can still do it, but they're going to need Kemper to make sure that they're locked in for this.
It almost seems to me like the Avalanche might have to outscore their issues, which they are more than capable of doing.
Yeah.
Watching them play is, and really the series with Edmonton was just end to end. It was breathtaking how fast, how much speed there was on the ice. All right, to the game that will be in front of you tonight at Emily Arena. It's funny how it's so easy, based on what we see in two games in New York, how easy it was for many to overlook the fact that the Lightning are the two-time defending champions. And, I mean, I thought they were good in the first period, not good enough to score. But then the Rangers took a 2-0 lead, and they were burying Tampa. You can't put that team away. And I thought Nikita Kucherov raised his game to an incredible level. And I think they gutted one out there. What have you seen in this series? Do the Rangers look like the better team?
Yeah, they do. But they didn't play very well in the third game. You know, they allowed 52 shots. That's never a good thing. I don't care how good your goalie is. And Shesterkin's been dynamite, right? But that's not a recipe for any kind of success in the playoffs. So they're going to have to lock it up a little bit better defensively, like they did in New York. But we came out of New York with the opinion that a couple things happened here. Number one, everyone was worried about the 8-day layoff and how it was going to affect Tampa Bay. Well, in the first game, they were rusty. They were guilty of self-inflicted wounds. They were turning the puck over. They were getting caught out of position. The Rangers were dominating the neutral zone on the attack. And because of that, boy, they looked a lot faster than Tampa Bay. And it looked like after the two games, once it got back here, the Lightning are either out of gas, more injured than they're letting anyone believe, or they're not going to be able to overcome the loss of Braden Point, and the Rangers will win this series, maybe in short order. But you know, the champions were champions in game three. If this were a prize fight, the Rangers are winning on points, but the champion's on the ropes right now and has come off the ropes, and you have to knock out the champ to win the fight. And we're going to find out tonight where all of that is, because the Lightning, as soon as the puck dropped in the third period, were on a mission. And I believe they came out of New York in the third period with a little bit of hope, too. I think they liked that period. But a lot of us thought, well, that was just a desperation push. Yeah. And the Rangers will get back to business. But, you know, you got to respect who they are. You know, two cups in a row going on three, maybe you have to give them that kind of respect.
Yeah, I never like to put too much stock in a game that theoretically has already been decided by what I see in the third period. During the regular season, I think you can completely dismiss it. But maybe right. not 100% in the postseason, because I know the old saying is, it's not a game, it's a series. So maybe Tampa did carry some of that over. But again, they were down 2-0. This game could have gone the other way. And then Kucherov and Stamkos, one-timers on the power play. And then, look, maybe it's not as good a pass as I believe it was, but everybody was crazy about the Andre Palat goal. I watched the pass. The Kucherov pass was, I thought, subtle brilliance.
It was incredible. It was world class. It's one of the best plays of the playoffs. That's not a goal. It results in a goal, but the pass, the backhand pass, bumpered out of the slot there was beautiful. It was a great hockey play all the way around. The two defensemen did what they were supposed to do. It came on the tail ends of a sequence where they almost scored. Shesterkin made a save. Puck was rimmed around. The rest is history. I think what we're going to see here is you have two teams tonight that both are very confident in what they do, right? And sometimes in a playoff series, it's that seed of doubt that can propel a team and do a team in. It's not evident yet here. I think the Rangers believe that they are better. I think the Rangers believe that they're not very good in game three and still could have won the game. And because of that, all they need to do is play better tonight and they'll have a great result. And Tampa Bay, I think, believes they can do this. They believe they have the pedigree, which is obvious. They have the star players who can rise and perform the way they're supposed to in the playoffs. And, you know, when your best players aren't any good, it's the most obvious thing to say, but it's really true in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it's just, you can't keep going to the well. It's nice to get, an unlikely hero from down in your lineup, but you can't rely on that. And Tampa Bay got to their best player, Kucherov, and Hedman was very good. Stamkos has been very good throughout this whole thing. Palat has 10 game-winning goals in the playoffs in his career. He's a very quiet star. Yeah. So they're there. They're right there.
There's no question about that.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. the Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. All right. Just about the Rangers, and I keep hearing about, well, you know, they weren't as good as this. They weren't, or they're here ahead of time. I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes you just get there. And just because your forecast maybe to be a next year team or maybe 2 years down the road, I thought the Rangers made four acquisitions at the trade deadline that made their lineup better and created a real third line by getting Andrew Kopp from Winnipeg, by getting Frank Vetrano from Florida, adding Tyler Mott, a depth piece on their fourth line. Justin Braun filled out their defense. And then all of those pieces allowed a third line with Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere and Philip Hedel, who I think is better than the other two, and they were both second overall picks. I just think that this team is legitimately good, and the goaltender's great. Why can't they win a Stanley Cup?
No, they can. They can definitely win the Stanley Cup. And you know what? All these forecasts about, well, maybe next year and all these different things. I remember it was either the 2016 or 2017 playoffs, and the Hockey News did a cover story. And the cover story was, let's predict the winner of the 2019 Stanley Cup. And they predicted the Winnipeg Jets. Okay, so it looked like they had the makings of something great. Obviously, it never happened. So the Rangers are seizing this moment. They're set up for the future. They made outstanding deals. You know, I think the stat we had Sunday was in their playoff wins so far, almost 47% of the point production has come from trading deadline acquisitions. And, you know, they were able to get guys to fit certain roles. It's been a big plus getting Barkley Goodrow back in the lineup. He was injured, as you know, in game one of the first round and didn't play until the, you know, getting back in action here in this series at the right level. So, yeah, they're getting outstanding play from all these guys. And the young 20-year-olds, well, it is a young league, and you should be performing. Once you cut your teeth, and I think those young players were challenged by Gerard Gallant this season, the coach, to be way better than they were. And I mean, Hedel only had 8 goals in the regular season. He has 7 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So everybody forgets that if you can go to work when it really counts and become better. And now as this has happened for them, these players have really cut their teeth, and now moving forward, they're, like I said, they're set up for the future, but they can do it now with this goalie and the team play they have and the power play they have. They can win the Stanley Cup.
I said this, John Forslund is joining us. I said this, and we'll let you go right after here. During the Canes-Rangers series, for me, we could talk about Zibanejad and Kreider and all the offensive players and Adam Fox. I wasn't sure, and Shesterkin was great. He was the best player. But I actually thought that their best skater was Keandre Miller. I think that kid is going to be an absolute star defensively. He's got offensive game as well. But he made, I don't know how many, elite defensive plays to break up scoring chances. And he did it all series long. And he did it against the Penguins, too, and he's doing it in this series. I think that kid's future is ridiculous.
Well, remember, this is a player that was a forward until he was 17. So he's 22. He hasn't been playing the position he's in at the world's best level that long. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's a quick learner. From what they tell me, he's unbelievably coachable, but Jacob Trouba has been a great partner for him. And you know what? That's what they have. The Rangers have a set attack. Barring injury, they know who's playing with who, and it's over a consistent period of time. They haven't had to change much at all. When you're questioning who's playing with who and trying to change lines and moving guys in and out and trying to get combinations that work and trying to revive your power play, and think you saw it in that market, exactly what happens. You're a very good team, but you're searching for things you should not be searching for in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So Keandre Miller had a very steady season, and it was in a quiet way. Not a lot of people noticed it. And he's like everybody else. He's relishing these moments right now and playing with a ton of confidence.
I absolutely loved him and have loved him in the playoffs. All right, real quick, Bruce Cassidy, Barry Trotz, John Tortorella, Rick Tocchet. How many of those guys will be behind benches next year?
They all can't coach the same team. But
Winnipeg's going to hire all four of them.
Yeah, they're gonna have the best coaching staff ever assembled.
At Paul Maurice. Yeah.
One guy's gonna actually be the video. Maybe Tock will be the video coach because he's done such a great job on television.
He has.
This one is a head scratcher because they're all excellent coaches. There's no doubt. But every coach has a life and a shelf life, so to speak, and they have to go. But this one here, the Bruins were at a very good team. And we're able look at the injuries they had. Look at the defense completely dismantled by injury during the Carolina series. Cassidy made adjustments within that series, kept his team right in there to a seventh game. There's a disconnect, obviously, between the president, Cam Neely, and Cassidy, and I think that's where it is. And that's all it is. And he's got over a 600 winning percentage or whatever it is, and a coach of the year and all these different things. And the same can be said for a lot of the other guys that are looking for jobs right now. But it shouldn't be long for Bruce Cassidy. The only thing that's a negative there is that he's one of these headstrong guys that gets opinions on young players, and if it's good, you're all set. If it's bad, it's almost like you have no chance. Jake DeBrusque has gone through that with him, so there is a little bit of that might have rubbed their management the wrong way. But based on their injuries, with McAvoy being out until December now, Grizzlick being out, Riley being out in the back end, Bergeron's going to have surgery. He might not play until January if he plays. Marchand's not. He's had hip surgery.
Yeah.
They're a calamity right now. So good luck to whoever the coach is, because unless they pull off some crazy magic, which their GM said they could do in the summer, can't wait to see it, might be a rebuilding year totally for the Bruins, looking to be in a lottery pick next year. We'll see.
Enjoy game four tonight, John Forzan, and game five and game six, and congratulations to your daughter who's going to graduate. So there,
yes.
No game seven
That's
for
the
you.
Best news. No game seven for me. That's the best news. I'll be in, downtown Raleigh, all set in that beautiful convention center with 18 million people watching kids file across the stage.
Yeah. Talk to you very soon, sir.
Okay, take care.
You got it. John Forslund, the voice of the Eastern Conference Finals on the radio. If you're listening in Raleigh, you can check it out tonight. Game four, Rangers with a 2-1 series lead.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! Have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.